The Lord be with you today. We find ourselves in strange circumstances. Services at Grace Lutheran Church have been suspended until further notice due to the coronavirus and also state recommendations. Members should have received a call from your elders assigned to you, or you should be receiving those phone calls soon. If you are on Facebook, please visit our church page, Grace Lutheran Church, Grass Valley, California. On our Facebook page, we will have live services both Wednesday nights at 7 and Sundays at 9 a.m. For the rest of Lent. Holy Week and all of that will be decided soon. Please remember that even though we aren't meeting, we still do have needs, and offerings can either be mailed to the church office or, if you so desire, the front page of our website, gracelutherangv.org, has a donate link right there on the front page. In our prayers today, we remember our nation. We remember those who are ill, our medical professionals who are working hard throughout this pandemic. And we also remember the family and friends of Amos Crew, a new face to Grace Lutheran Church, who tragically and unexpectedly died this last week. So our sermon today is, in essence, a funeral sermon of sorts, as we will not be able to gather to remember him and his life of faith because of our situation. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such things?" And there was division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So, for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees heard him and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. One thing that we have learned over the last couple of weeks is that there are no guarantees in this life. Everything seems to be humming along just fine, and then something so unexpected happens that you're at a loss how to respond. Fear and anger and blame are common responses because you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. And like the disciples today, you try to figure out cause and effect. They asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Surely there must be an answer. Certainly we can divine the mysteries of God and come up with a logical and sane answer. He's blind. He must have done something evil. Oh, he was born blind. Well, his parents did something awful for this to happen. Had to have. Why else would God let this happen to him? It must be divine punishment." But as always, Jesus points in another direction. For the third week in a row, our Lord Christ is on a whole other level compared to his hearers. And once again, he's thinking about baptism. And St. John is writing in a way that you can see the thread running through it all. Nicodemus came in darkness to learn about birth that comes from above. The woman at the well heard of the living water that only the great I Am can give. And this blind man washes in the pool of the sent ones to regain his sight from a life of perpetual darkness. We are all, once again, in a period of darkness and uncertainty. Not just because we have no idea when this isolation will end, not just because we're worried about who might contract the coronavirus next, but also because we can't understand how someone so young and so vibrant could die so unexpectedly and so tragically. And so we mourn the death of our brother in Christ, Amos, and we mourn in uncertainty and in pain. We want to know the why, but there is no why. There's no answer for us in this life, in this world of sin. Instead, turn to the Lord your God. Hear His voice in the midst of these days and trust that He has indeed heard your prayers and your cries and that He indeed answers when you call. Well, of course, you say. That's what pastors are supposed to say, you say. And you would be right. But that doesn't make it any less true. Today's readings from Holy Scripture are all about darkness and light, and seeing and not seeing what is right in front of you. They are about the light of the world, the one who shines so brightly that the darkness cannot overcome him. So that is where you go today. St. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord." The man born blind walked his whole life in darkness too, until the Lord Jesus brought him life and light. See, the thing that you forget about this man is that he was blind, not deaf. He heard the word of the Lord every week in the synagogue. He knew what the Lord God Almighty had planned for his people, maybe even more keenly than the super religious folk did, because he had one less sense to work with and really had to concentrate. So he knew all about the Messiah when he had his conversations with Jesus. He just needed the right lenses to look through, as it were, to be able to see him clearly. And he makes that connection through the creative and the performative words and work of the Messiah. Jesus takes the dust of the earth and he adds the water of his spit, the very basics of creation. And then he sends him to the pool of Siloam, the pool of the apostles, the sent ones, and tells him to wash his eyes. And if you don't see creation and baptism in those words, do you even truly see Jesus? Or are you in blind darkness too? So he does as Jesus asks. His sight is restored, or given, since he had none to begin with. And it is sight that came completely outside of himself. It was God's gracious gift that he see through the Word. And so here we are today. It's beautiful. It's sunny. It's delightful outside. but we're isolated. And you've curved in on yourselves instead. You've turned inward to focus on the worry and on the isolation and maybe on the pain and the grief and the loss. Because it's easier to be willfully blind. It's easier to shut your eyes to what is all around you, to refuse to see what the Lord your God has given you because you want it all to be as you desire. That's the sharp edge of God's law that cuts you so deeply. That's why Jesus replied to the Pharisees whose noses were so out of joint by saying, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." They thought they knew it all, but they were blind to the truth. They knew all the answers, even though they had no idea what the questions really were. Your Lord Jesus is the light shining in the darkness. Remember this. It's all over our own publications. I mean, what do they say? That Grace Lutheran Church is a home for sinners, a place for the wounded, a light in the darkness, a refuge for the weary. And because Christ Jesus has spoken, you know some things with certainty. You know that because you were washed in the waters of holy baptism, you walk in the light of Christ, no matter how dark the world seems to be. You know that whatever comes your way in the weeks ahead, Christ Jesus has already been there for you in his life and in his death and in his resurrection. You know that because Jesus lives, you too live for all of eternity, bathed in his blood, washed in his baptism, strengthened in his word. And you know that regardless of the darkness that surrounds you, Jesus is always the light that carries you home to the Father. You know that whatever darkness our brother Amos looked into, his Lord Jesus, your Lord Jesus, bore his baptized soul into the ineffable light of his presence to rest with him until the day of the resurrection of all flesh. The day when we shall all stand anew and restored and before the face of the Lord God in his glory in the place that he has prepared for you. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. Rest in him in these uncertain and grief-filled days. For in him alone will you find peace and rest and refuge and a home. In the name of Jesus, amen.